Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast.
One of the issues with our team right now is mental toughness, discipline, and execution.
Blame no one. Make no excuses. Do something.
Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast, everybody. This is your host, Jason Staples, as always. And as always, this podcast brought to you by, well, this time we've got a whole stable of realtors that we're going to be adding in a little bit more on that from a special guest a little bit later. And also from Garage Makeovers, the number one garage remodeling company in the South Florida area. As always, thanks to those sponsors and also to the Patreon supporters of this podcast. Going to have some stuff coming for you guys on Patreon. I know I've been promising that for a little bit, but I've been working through a lot of evaluation of this 2019 recruiting class. And I'm actually, the next thing I'm going to be posting is a series of videos where I'm actually evaluating. I will take you through my evaluation process of each player and some of the things that I notice when going through the available footage of those players online. So plenty to go through there, basically looking at specific plays, what they show about where how this player may fit and that sort of thing. And then beyond that, I've been collecting Baylor film and other Bryles film, and just about to the place where I can start to use that for the breakdowns in the off season. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get to evaluating the 2019 recruiting class for Florida State. I mean, obviously the first thing is the disappointment of not getting a high school quarterback for the second year in a row. That is that's not good. There's no amount of polishing that's going to make that feel or look a whole lot better. But I'll spend a little bit more time on that specifically later in the episode. I actually want to start by going through the 2019 kids they did sign. So I spent a couple hours now going through and doing my own evaluation, as I do every year, doing my own evaluation of what I think of the class. Basically, what the potential of this class is, where they fit, all of those things. And honestly, I have to say, when I went through this year, and I didn't spend as much time before signing day going through a lot of recruiting, and you'll notice I didn't release a pre-national signing day episode discussing, you know, who I thought might wind up where or whatever. Part of the reason for that was that I just didn't have a whole lot to share. In prior years, I've had some sources that had given me some information and different things. And this year, I'm not going to waste your time if I don't have specific stuff. If I don't have any idea where that guy's going, then why am I going to, get put up an episode making predictions or projections on something that I really don't know? So I wasn't going to waste time on that. But what I can do is I can evaluate once those players are in the fold. And I have to say, I went in, based on recruiting rankings and other things, I went in a little bit pessimistic, kind of, okay, well, let's see what they got. Let's see where things are. And I came out, I think this is a better class. This is a better class than I thought it was before I did my evaluation. There's more here to build upon than what I thought, or than what the recruiting rankings would suggest. There's some players in this class. Now, does this class have some of the elite guys up front that you need in order to win a championship? No, that's really where the lack is in this class. Yeah, not signing a quarterback, not good. But the real lack, the real miss here is that you don't have a Marvin Wilson or a Josh Kando, a Josh Sweat, one of those really highly ranked, highly regarded, the quote unquote can't miss elite defensive line guy. They need a couple of those in the next class. That's really where the big lack is in this class. You add one or two of those guys in this class and it basically covers what they need for the future. But I tell you what, this class is not, I think they did a better job of evaluating than the rankings might suggest when I went through. It's like, huh, well, because the big thing that stood out to me, and this is just sort of the overarching, my overarching thought after going through and doing my own evaluations. And again, I don't have full game film for each of these kids. So I have to go off of what's available. But the thing that stood out to me is they signed a bunch of kids who are really good athletes, who were two-way players in high school, played both sides of the ball, can play all over the field, do different things. There's a lot of versatility in this class. And really, to me, the theme of this class is they signed football players. They didn't always sign guys that were that had every measurable necessarily. You know, a couple guys that are 6'1 or 6'2, and ideally, you know, if you put them in the blueprint, you want a guy that's 6'4 or 6'5. Okay. But what they did do is they signed guys that are football players. And you can really see that they targeted guys that they felt would have high motors and would fit the culture that they're looking for. Now, that doesn't mean that they didn't sign really good athletes. There's some excellent athletes in this class. But they signed a lot of guys that when I was going through, I was like, well, I'm not exactly sure which position this guy's going to play. It's kind of the Butch Davis approach to signing a defensive class, that you sign the best athletes you can with some length and speed, guys that have played multiple sports, guys that have played multiple positions in high school, and you figure out where they fit best in your system. There's a lot of that. And generally, I like that approach. And so when I went through, it was like, well, you know, that guy's a better athlete than I realized. That guy's got the ability to play three positions. That guy could play four. So the big thing is that they signed a lot of football players. That's the first thing. Now, going through, refreshing those of you who've not been around in the past, I have a little bit of a different way of evaluating sort of how players fit, is I slot them into specific categories. And I have this available in spreadsheet form over on the Unconquered podcast website. But basically, I slot these players in categories, not so much 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, 2-star, etc. I basically evaluate where I think this player's ceiling is. And essentially, what I try to do is I try to establish what I think a given player's probable ceiling is. And what that doesn't mean like that's his absolute ceiling. You know, a kid could overachieve what I think the probable ceiling is. This is, okay, if this player stays healthy, if this player develops as you would expect, what's the ceiling? Where does this kid wind up? That's what I try to do. And that takes into account, you know, the floor of, okay, that, you know, the kid doesn't develop completely, but, you know, ends up sort of falling a little below what expectations would be. Where's that floor? Now, you obviously have another floor of, okay, kid punches a woman, gets kicked off the team, any number of things. That stuff, you know, you can't really take into account unless there's a character flag, in which case I'll make note of that. So all that being said, I basically put kids in the following categories. There is the impact player category. There's the potential difference maker category, the outstanding starter category, the starter category, and then depth. And then you have the specialty category where Ryan Fitzgerald as a kicker fits in. And honestly, I didn't spend any time looking at Fitzgerald. He's highly regarded and all that. And listen, I coached kickers the last 2 years for the high school that I coached at. And one of my kickers went on to get a scholarship, went, what, 24 of 26 on field goals his senior year. So, I mean, I actually can evaluate kickers to some degree. But the thing is, there's a huge difference between working off a tee in high school and, you know, all the things that make kicking is a weird thing. It's so much of it's mental, and so much of it's just being able to be, you know, be the golf type guy who can go out there and hit a clutch shot under pressure, and it's really hard to evaluate that. So, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, watching just a couple kicks. The kid's got a good leg. He you know, it makes solid contact on the ball. Everything seems to be there. So, you know, okay, good. Moving on. But beyond that, you start with these five other categories of impact player, potential difference maker, outstanding starter, starter, and depth. And I try to place players in those categories on what I think, where I think they fit. And so a player that I put in the depth category is a kid that honestly, I don't expect to start in his career at Florida State, aside from maybe a few games. But this is a kind of kid that ultimately I think gets recruited over and, you know, winds up. Ideally, you want that kid to be a glue guy, a guy that can be a good player, but maybe not, maybe doesn't become a starter. And that's kind of where I evaluate that. So for example, past guys that I've had in this, and I've been doing this for a number of years now, past guys that I put in the depth category included DeKalon Brooks, which he wound up starting, and that didn't mean that he necessarily overachieved relative to his ceiling. It just meant that Florida State actually had a depth guy starting. That tells you something. But DeKalon Brooks, David Robbins, Calvin Bruton, DeAndre Johnson, Adam Torres, Jeremy Kerr. These are guys that I had in the depth category when they were recruited, basically. So that's more or less where you're looking there. Now, a starter projects as a depth player. This category is projects as a depth player through most of career, but possibly grows into a starter, say in fourth or fifth year, has a chance of being drafted with good development, but, you know, physically and all that, more likely winds up a free agent or late round guy if there's development. So past people that I put in that starter category, I had Chaz Neal, Dennis Briggs, Christian Armstrong, Jamarcus Chapman, Demarcus Adams from last class, Brady Scott, Ontario Wilson from the prior class, Andrew Buscelli, Gabe Neighbors, Nasir Upshur, and really Neighbors and Upshur should have been in the depth category. I think I had him a little too high that year. You know, Jalen Wilkerson, Fred Jones, those are guys that I had in the starter category in the past. Then you've got your outstanding starter. This is your multi-year starter. These are your foundational players in your program. These are guys that could become all conference, potentially NFL draft picks, that sort of thing. And, you know, in last class, you had Asante Samuel, Jalen Goss, Amari Gaynor, Christian Meadows, Anthony Grant, Isaiah Bolden. That's that class. Cyrus Fagan from the prior class. You know, Kyle Myers I had in that category. I liked him better than a lot of people did. And then you've got your potential difference makers and your impact players, and we'll deal with those when we actually get to those categories. But basically, I'm going to work through and go through these players player by player and tell you where, you know, what I thought of them and where I place them on the scale. So starting with the starter category, I think most of this class fits in that starter category. Most of this class is not, there aren't a whole lot of impact players in this class. Now, last year, I had two guys in the impact player class. This year, I had two as well. 2017, I had four. Or no, I had five. I had five in 2017. That's really where you want to be. But the majority of this class fits in the starter category. There's one guy that I have in the depth category, and that is Maurice Goolsbee. He's a guy that, you know, I'm not super impressed by at wide receiver. He's a good player. He's got a lot of size. He's got good length, but ultimately at wide receiver and even at tight end, I think he's a guy that ultimately winds up getting recruited over unless he really develops, because I don't see a whole lot of a burst. I don't see the ability to separate a lot, even at the high school level. And that's stuff that really matters ultimately once you get to the college level. And if he's competing with, say, Jordan Young and Trayshawn Harrison caliber players, he's not going to play over those guys. The thing, though, that I'm most interested in with Goolsbee is he's a guy that played on both sides of the ball. He lined up at outside linebacker, even defensive end for his high school. And I wonder, I mean, I look at his size, and listen, the kid's got really, really good hands, and he's a natural jump ball guy. So, I mean, he could develop into that role. But I wonder, like, in 2 years, are we looking at a kid that has grown into a defensive end? Are we looking at a kid that's grown into an edge rusher? I'm not sure what they're doing defensively because of some of the hybrids that they're bringing in. But, you know, are you looking at a guy that winds up switching over to the defensive side and giving you that long rangy kind of guy that could do that? Again, you're looking at an athlete. I think Goolsbee's an athlete, and he's not super twitchy. He's not all that explosive for a wide receiver. But if you flip him over to the other side, and also at tight end, you know, he could develop there. You know, but I don't see him really as an H-back role. But he's a guy that, again, you've got some flexibility depending on what happens in terms of how much weight he can gain and all that. He becomes an interesting prospect at that point. But I've got him in the depth category. So after him, let's go ahead and go to the offensive line. Maurice Smith is the next guy that I want to talk about. I also have him as on the fringe. He's right on the fringe of the depth or starter category. And to me, he's a little stubby. You know, he's not all that tall, not real long. But he does have good bend, and he naturally rolls his hips into contact. So he's a powerful kid, but ultimately, and he's got solid feet, and he can pull, he can move around a little bit. So for inside, and actually, I think, you know, the interesting question is whether or not he winds up moving to center, you know, because I think build wise, I think his movement, he could be a center if he, you know, if he's able to snap. And that's always the problem. You want to bring in as many kids as possible that can play center because you've got to figure out who can actually do it. But, you know, if he can play center, his value goes up more. But he's got solid feet. He moves well. That's one of the things, actually, about this entire offensive line class. They all move well, all of them. And Smith is no exception. He's clearly an inside guy. And to me, he's a guy that really you want in your program probably 2 or 3 years before he earns a starting spot. If he's playing before that, that's not ideal. But he's a guy that, you know, again, offensive line is a numbers game as much as anything else. You need to bring in bodies and ultimately see who's going to develop. You need to bring in guys that are big and can move and can bend, and then figure out who's going to develop and who's going to stay healthy. And I think he's a solid body. So, you know, this is the kind of kid you need to bring in. And, you know, he's got a nasty streak, like what I see there. So I see him as, you know, maybe a future starter, maybe. But, you know, probably 2-3 years down the line. The next guy on my list is Jay Williams. That's the JUCO offensive lineman that they brought in. And, you know, he's a good player, good prospect. But nothing sticks out about him to me as a, you know, he's not a freak. He's not a guy that, you know, he sticks out as, oh, yeah, this guy's, going to be an All-American or anything like that. He's a guy that can come in and I think can be an upgrade over what you had at tackle last year for sure. That's pretty clear. He can be an upgrade over what they had last year. He can get you back to average there, which is fine. And then, you know, get a little bit of development and he's solid his senior year. That's okay. That's what you're going for with that JUCO situation. That's fine. And a couple of things that do stick out about him is he's got really good length. He definitely can play the edge there, play right tackle, left tackle in this system. And he does move his feet pretty well. Now he's a little light in the butt, as they say. You know, he doesn't have the big bubble, doesn't have the real thick midsection, you know, area, where you really get your power from. In terms of his technique, let's just say he's going to need to do some work. His pass sets and all that, he's going to have to get there. But he can do what they want him to do, and, you know, provided he stays healthy, can be an upgrade immediately. And he's a guy that is in line to potentially even start in his first year in the program. Ideally, he isn't the starter in his first year in the program and can develop a little bit and probably be a guy that starts his second year. That's more ideal. Now, you add him to the grad transfer that they already got. They already got Northern Illinois offensive lineman Ryan Roberts, who's a grad transfer, and he's going to play right away. Ryan Roberts probably going to start immediately. So now you've got some options that mean that you aren't necessarily sticking the tackle out there that you had out there last year. They don't want any tackles that played last year. So maybe Landon Dickerson, but they don't want to have any of those guys out there. That's it. The other guys other than Landon Dickerson that are returning at tackle, those guys can't play or couldn't play last year. And what basically Williams gives you is a guy that can come in and at least potentially be an upgrade over those guys. So that's fine. And again, he would go down as somebody that can probably get you back to average there. That's okay. Then you get to Dante Lucas. Dante Lucas is a kid at offensive guard. He's already on campus. Lucas is a powerful dude. He is a mauler and he is nasty. He is an interior guy though, and really where the biggest need has been is at tackle. I'm not sure he plays as much as you might think at the guard position, because Florida State actually has some reasonable players at the guard position, but some of those players have had injury problems their whole careers, like Cole Minshew, for example. Landon Dickerson, if Dickerson moves back inside, if the tackle position is such that Dickerson can move back inside, that's a really good sign. But ultimately, Lucas, based on what we've seen in terms of that the injury stuff up front the last few years, Lucas is good enough to play and to be a guy that there's not a whole lot of drop off if he comes on the field. The thing that sticks out to me, again, he is nasty. He has plus bend. I mean, he's got very good bend in terms of his hips and the ability to sink his hips and roll his hips into the defensive player and get those guys knocked on the ground. And the other thing is, he's a better puller. He moves better pulling and doing all that stuff on the interior than last year's guards did. So in that sense, he fits a lot of what they want to do with Dart and all that stuff that Briles runs a bunch. He fits that really well. So, depending on how he acclimatizes to his first year, you're looking at a kid that could play early. I have Dante Lucas as an outstanding starter, projects as a multi-year starter, foundational player in the program, possible all-conference player, NFL draft pick down the line. That's where I have Lucas. I think he's got a chance to really be a multi-year starter, and by the time he's done, somebody that is one of the better players in the program. So that's a really good pull. And to have him on campus already, that's solid. Next one to talk about on the offensive line is Darius Washington. And Washington was a little bit of a late offer, sort of a plan C for them in some ways. I liked him better than I thought I would. He's really trim. He's one of those guys. He's a little heavier footed than ideal. I mean, he's not one of those, dancing bear guys. But he is real trim, and there's not a whole lot of fat on this kid. And he's got a solid bubble. This is one of those kids you can see has lifted, and he's gonna be really strong. He reminds me a little bit of Jalen Goss, actually, from last year's class. Goss a little bit more flexible, a little bit lighter on his feet than Washington, but the same kind of overall athlete that needs to ultimately add a little bit of bulk. But the bulk is gonna get there, and there's not. He doesn't need to totally reshape and reform his body. It's just a matter of growing into his body. And, that's a good kind. I love taking this kind of guy. This is the kind of guy I like to have in the class, because 2-3 years down the line, once he's developed in a college program, this is the kind of kid that turns into a really, really good player. If the work ethic is there and everything else, I think this is a kid. Again, I put him in the starter category, because he's going to need to be he's going to need, say, 2 years really before you want to see him on the field much. But he was on the edge of that outstanding starter category for me, because the possibility of him, say, after 2 years of development, that third year, he could be a really good player, because the potential's there. It's just going to take him a little longer because of the size and just in terms of getting polished up and all of that. And again, that's part of what you expect on the offensive line. Normally, you're going to sign, most of your offensive linemen are going to fall under the starter category if you're signing well, because that those are guys that it just takes a while to develop there. All right. Last guy in the offensive line that I'm going to talk about is Ira Henry. And Henry is a lot better than I thought I'd see. Now, I haven't seen any senior stuff from him. The only stuff available that I found was junior stuff. And man, was I impressed. This is one of my favorite players in this class. I love Ira Henry. First of all, he looks the part. He looks like the kind of player, like the kind of offensive tackle that traditionally you'll see signed in an Alabama class. He just he looks that. He's got the long arms, the big bubble. He has a lot of the look that you want. And yeah, that's great. Looks like Tarzan. How does he play? Well, the kid can move. He moves well. I think he's a legit left tackle type prospect, particularly in this kind of offense. And you can make the case that he may turn out to be one of the best three or four recruits in this class. This kid should, based on what I saw, I'm surprised he's not a four-star. I like this kid a lot. I think Ira Henry is going to be a player. I have him as a potential difference maker. So for a potential difference maker category, that is a matchup problem as a skill player usually. But a potential difference maker projects as an all-conference player and likely high to mid draft pick, possible All-American, but is likely to need a year or two to develop. So do I expect Ira Henry to come in and play right away? No. He falls under the likely to need a year or two to develop. But as a sophomore, this kid probably competes for a job. Or as a redshirt freshman, if they're able to redshirt. As a redshirt sophomore or as a junior, I think he's a starter and is competing for an all conference spot if he stays healthy and if the work ethic is there, and that's stuff you can't evaluate exactly. But I think this kid is a great pull. In terms of that evaluation, this is the kind of player I would target as an offensive tackle. I love him. And there are a couple of kids in this class where it's like, oh man, you know, I like him better than his ranking. He's one of them. There are a few that, yeah, well, you know, I think he's ranked maybe a little too high. This is not one of them. I think Ira Henry's a player. So that's one that I think Florida State fans should be excited about. All right, let's go ahead and move to the linebackers. So on the linebacker, and yeah, I know it's a little out of order, not going offense, defense all at once, but you know, this is just the order that I went through in terms of my own evaluation. So in terms of linebackers, they signed three guys, and I think all three guys for specific positions, ultimately. Jaleel McCray is the headliner here. He's the highest ranked. 6'2", 230. He's signed to be a middle linebacker in this system. I think he's going to be ready earlier than the other two. And I think he's more of a good combo linebacker. At 230, he moves well. I think he's a little bit naturally more fluid than, say, Dontavius Jackson, but he's not quite as much of a thumper as Jackson was coming out of high school either. So not quite as big as a Leonard Warner. Warner, about 6'4", you know, carries 240 pretty easily, but he's pretty fluid. You know, McCray is pretty fluid. He triggers downhill well. You know, he to me seems like he's solid and good across the board with good size. That's basically what you got. And I think he's probably ready to play earlier than not. To me, the real concern is that he's had a couple knee injuries. And I was careful. I watched a lot of his clips. And there were a few clips where when he's running in space, you can see he's still got a little bit of a limp. The gait is not completely neutral. And that's concerning to me. So really good player. Good instincts. I think if he stays healthy, can be a solid linebacker in the system. But I do have some concerns about the injury history and about how you know, they need to make sure that he is prehabbing all the time. Once he gets on campus, he needs to be making sure that he is never putting himself. There's one misstep he took on one of his highlights where you could see the knee was not quite in the best position. It was like, ooh, you know, you get a couple missteps like that and you blow it out again. You have to train to make sure that even when you're fatigued and all that, that your body doesn't end up in those situations. And he's going to have to do that. But I like him as a player. I think he's a good prospect, a kid that can help early, but I don't think he's, you know, a day one starter or anything like that. I have him basically between the starter and outstanding starter category. I think he basically fits more or less in that starter category overall, at the top end of that starter category. So, you know, good player, not a special player, but has the chance to contribute early. Along with him, they signed Kevon Glenn, and Kevon Glenn is he's 6'1", 210, looks thicker than 210 on his film. Actually, in terms of the way he played, reminded me kind of Nigel Bradham. He's just not as big, and I don't think quite as fast. So, but you know, just style wise, that's what you got. Actually, the other thing, he looked a lot like a lot of Michigan State linebackers over the years, the weak side linebackers at Michigan State that were that are quick trigger downhill linebackers that are going to hit. And they're going to hit, and they're going to hit some more. That's basically what you're getting with Kevon Glenn. You know, he's one of those guys. He plays, he triggers as quickly as you're going to see at the high school level, and he plays downhill. Not really a coverage guy. You know, he's not as fluid in his hips as what you'd have ideally. Again, that's where maybe the comparison to Bradham is he runs well in a straight line, but you know, not a guy that you're going to want one-on-one with, say, a slot receiver. But man, when he triggers downhill, he brings it. And he can run inside out to sideline to sideline. I think he projects as a wheel backer in their system. You know, probably plays at 225 or so and winds up being a good player again. I've got him as that in that starter category. You know, could be a multi-year starter. You know, he and McCray are right on the edge. I've gone back and forth between outstanding starter and starter. I think they're probably both guys that I'll keep in the starter category, but good overall players. I Amari Gaynor last year I had as an outstanding starter category because of his length, and the thing that McCray and Glenn don't have as much is length. But I do think that they may actually allow, because of sort of where they fit in how this defense runs, they may actually allow Amari Gaynor to become more of a pass rusher. That's one of the things that I think this linebacker class may do. I might end up moving, if I'm the defensive staff, I'm contemplating moving Amari Gaynor to a pass rush role much more, and then maybe having some of these younger linebackers working a little bit more in that traditional linebacker role. So again, we'll talk a little bit more in future podcasts about what they're doing defensively based on who they're bringing in. To me, the linebacker that I liked the best out of this class is Kalen DeLoach. He to me fits the star position in their system. He's about 6'1", 205. And to me, he's a coverage backer with real quickness. He's only 6'1", it says, but he's long. He's longer than what you'd get. And he shows real burst. I mean, he's got some running back clips as well, and he can play running back. You know, is he a Florida State running back? No, but he's a guy that has the burst and the long speed to really be impressive. And that allows him to be, you know, the kind of star coverage linebacker that you've been seeing at Clemson of late. And again, that star backer that you would see at Michigan State. And this is where I think, again, the evaluation of what they did defensively, you can see a lot of what they were doing at Michigan State in terms of the kinds of players that they had in their program. That's what they signed here. Now, the thing is, these are guys that are going to take a year or two. And Michigan State, usually, you know, they were good when they had juniors and seniors starting on their defense. But when these guys are juniors and seniors, this defense could be really, really good. So, you know, foundational guys. I think the linebacker class is solid. All of these guys probably can play early. And the thing, one of the other things is that you look at how quickly they trigger and how physical these guys are. A couple of these guys are going to have a chance to play right away just because of the absence of those traits among the current guys. So, you know, McCray, Deloach, Glenn, all of them, any one of them could end up playing a decent amount as a freshman just because, honestly, there's not a whole lot in front of him at the linebacker position at Florida State. Although, again, I think Jaden Woodby should be the starter at star again. I think you're going to have Jackson and Warner as the primary guys at the other backers. So ideally, these guys don't play until year two or year three. And at that point, they can be pretty good. All right, before we move on to the next group, have a special guest with a brief announcement. So take a quick break.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me from such educational films as Lead Paint, Delicious But Deadly, and Here Comes the Metric System. I'm here to talk to you today about the new initiative from the Unconquered Podcast, the Unconquered Podcast Network of Realtors. You've all been amazed by the photography and videography of Luis Marquez from Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville, Florida. Well, prepare to have your mind blown by other realtors in other regions, all connected by the tradition of excellence represented by the Unconquered Podcast. The latest addition to this stable of thoroughbreds is Eric Rostad from Keller Williams Realty in Nashville, Tennessee, and the surrounding areas. Eric is tireless and will make sure you get the best possible experience in buying or selling your home. It doesn't even matter how many aquariums you may have. More to come soon. Just remember, the best realtors are unconquered realtors.
Always excited to have a guest like that on the program. And again, also excited about the new initiative, the Unconquered Podcast Network of Realtors, or the Realtor Network, if you prefer. I'm going to go ahead and move up one level from the linebacker position. Going to go to the defensive line and look at what they signed there. On the defensive line, it's interesting what they did this year, and really what they did last year. They've signed a lot of hybrid guys. I mean, last year Dennis Briggs, Jamarcus Chapman, those are hybrids. Malcolm Lamar, guy that could play inside and out. There's a lot of guys that could play inside and out, and a lot of guys that are sort of tweeners in both of the last two classes, which is a little odd given that they have been an even front team, you know, a four-man line team. A lot of these guys seem like they would fit really well in an odd front, as an odd front team, as a 3-4 team, or a, you know, team that's going to have three down linemen, sometimes five down linemen. But basically, that odd front team seems more like what they're recruiting. So I'm curious to see whether or not there's going to be some transition there defensively to see if they use more odd front stuff in the future. But yeah, this is an interesting class on the defensive line. There's not a whole lot of guys that I would say are special guys, but there's guys that can really play. So it's an interesting class. I'm going to go ahead and start with Derek McClendon. And McClendon, I have listed as a starter, not as an outstanding starter, but as a starter. And again, the reasoning here, I'll have on the Patreon site a little bit more. It's easier to explain with video. But you know, he's one of those guys, and you're going to hear me say this a bunch about this group, that he's solid across the board. There's nothing that he doesn't that you look at and you go, oh, that's a weakness. He's solid. But he's also not, you know, the kind of player that you get with a Brian Burns coming out where you're like, wow, he does one thing really well. Like there's this one, you know, Burns had that burst in the length that was just special. McClendon is a guy that, again, good length for his height. He's listed as either 6'3 or 6'4, depending on where you got. And he looks every bit of that length. He's got good burst, but it's not elite burst. Yeah, and he's a high motor guy. Seems to me to be the kind of guy that winds up they're obviously recruiting him to be the field end, you know, more of the rush end. But looking at his body, looking at his build, I mean, ideally you try to get a guy that's got a little bit more burst, a little bit more speed for that role. And then, you know, maybe you put an extra 30 pounds on McClendon and he becomes a guy that can play, can swing on both sides as an end. But he's a guy that, you know, in 2 years, probably a very solid end. And again, I just, when watching him, I was like, this is the kind of guy that Michigan State has signed year after year after year. And you see turn into a really good end after a couple of years up there. But he's not a guy that comes in and just sets the world on fire as a true freshman. So I have him as a starter, not as a matchup problem, say, but as a guy that can be a solid end in your system after a year or two of development. Good player. The next guy, Malcolm Ray. And I talked to somebody actually who I respect a lot, who handles recruiting in South Florida, across the state, but in South Florida as well. And this guy thinks Malcolm Ray is a really, really good high school player. The question is exactly how he's going to transition to the college game just because of the size difference. Ray is he's 6'2", 250, and he really is best suited to play inside. So he's going to need to put on some weight. But again, he's one of these hybrid types. He could be an odd front defensive end, although again, you'd like that guy to be a little taller. Or he could be one of those pass rushing defensive tackles. At 250, a little light. But if he puts on 20 pounds, plays at 270, 275, you know, your best case scenario is that you have a poor man's Aaron Donald type is what you're going for there. Basically a guy that can disrupt in a one gap system. Not the kid. And the thing is, he's super quick in a phone booth. In short spaces, the kid really, really bursts. And so he does have some plus characteristics. It's just he's not real long and he's not all that big in terms of weight. But this is a guy that can carve out a good role. It's just not clear which role that's going to be yet. It's going to be interesting to see him develop. But this kid's a football player. And like I said about Fred Jones a few years ago, this is not the kind of kid I want to bet against. And this is the kind of kid you need in your program. So it's a good pickup, good foundational guy. But again, I have him in the starter category and a guy that, you know, can turn into a really good player. You're just going to have to wait a little bit. I don't think, again, he's going to be day one tearing it up. Needs to add a little bit of weight, and they're going to need to figure out what role they want him in. But again, this is a football player and not the kind of guy you want to bet against, and the kind of guy that, again, as a redshirt sophomore or as a junior, if he doesn't redshirt, you're looking at a player that's probably out there doing some things, you know, bouncing around doing some things, as they say. Next guy, Curtis Fan, 6'2", 250, another hybrid, and another guy that when I was doing my evaluation, it was like, well, he's solid. I kept coming back to that adjective with this defensive line class. This guy's solid. He's more of a thudder than he is quick. You know, he's not a super explosive guy, but has the heavy hands. To me, he's a year two or three guy when he really makes his move in the program. And he probably at 6'2", 250 winds up being that boundary end, the bigger end. But again, in a 3-4 could develop into that kind of big end that you need for the 3-4 if you're going to play both ends in that sense. So, you know, it'll be interesting again to see how much weight he puts on at 6'2", how much room does he have? I think he can probably play at 270, 275. And again, that's what you're getting. So good, solid player. Again, not the kind of player that is going to be that I'm looking at and going, I project this kid to be All-American or an All-ACC guy. Could be an All-ACC guy later on, but the kind of guy that when you look up at East Lansing, again, I keep going back to this. When you look at Michigan State, they've had a bunch of ends like this that have had a lot of success in the confines of their defense. Not necessarily a high draft pick, but danged if you have a hard time running against that front. That's basically what you're getting here. True Thompson, one of the first commits in this class, was steadfast, never wavered, one of the leaders of this class. He's shorter. He's a fire hydrant. Thick, good leverage, high motor, big time burst for a guy his size. And really what I watched when I watched in the comparison that stood out to me, think Niall Lawrence Stample from a few years ago, but with a little bit more leverage, a little bit more of a little bit more solid than Lawrence Stample, and maybe not quite as laterally quick as Lawrence Stample. So a little bit more disruptive going forward than Lawrence Stample was, and then maybe not as quick side to side, which generally you'll make that trade. This is a guy that, again, he can play that nose spot. He can play across that front, but he's going to cause some problems with his quickness. And again, with his ability to use his leverage and be a fire hydrant in there, that's really hard to move. So good player. Again, I project him as a starter guy that, you know, doesn't do a whole lot as a freshman, starts to work his way a little bit into the rotation as in a second year. Probably red shirts as a freshman, might not, but second year maybe gets a little bit of time. Third year starts to become a foundational guy in your program. And that's sort of where I wind up there. Quayshon Fuller to me is the guy that has the highest upside of anybody in this class on the defensive line. I have him as a potentially outstanding starter. So a guy that could potentially become, you know, your all-conference type player. Could contribute within the first couple of years, depending on what happens. At 6'3", 250, he's got good length for 6'3", and he has some heavy hands. Long-term, I think, again, he's a strong side defensive end, not a weak side guy. They brought him in potentially as a weak side guy, but to me, he's long-term a bigger, strong side defensive end. I think he could carry as much as 280. And again, he's hybrid-ish, could be inside, could be outside, can do a lot of stuff. And I think he fits a lot of what they're trying to do on that front. He actually reminds me a lot of the kinds of odd front defensive ends that Bama has signed a lot in recent years. And Alabama wanted him. But that's basically what you're getting. Now, is he going to be a guy that's going to be a double-digit sack guy? No. But he's the kind of guy that can make you a nightmare to run against. And to me, and again, good bend, good athlete, but not elite as a, you know, in terms of burst and all that. To me, what this defensive line class communicates, you look at what they're doing in terms of linebackers and defensive linemen, they're either moving to a little bit more hybridity in terms of being able to do some odd front stuff, which I think is very possible, or they're really just moving to the kind of Michigan State model of how they're doing stuff up front, where you're going a little bigger across the board with a little bit more hybridity. You're going to have one guy that's smaller as your rush end, but everybody else is really big, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to make it extremely difficult to just run on your front four. It's a stop the run first mentality up front, with a little bit quicker defensive tackles, a little bit bigger strong side end, and then you've got that weak side guy that's your edge rusher. And basically, you get less distinction, say, between your defensive tackles, between, say, your three technique and your strong side defensive end, because of how you're doing that. And what you're trying to do is allow that to... is use that size, use that those hybrids up front to cause problems with teams being able to get to your backers and let your backers have a little bit more freedom to trigger downhill and make those plays. To me, that's what they're doing in terms of what they were able to recruit. These guys all fit that kind of system. None of them are guys that you look at and you go, this is a can't miss, has to play right away, it's going to make a big impact. None of those guys are that, but there's not one of these guys that I look at and I go, oh yeah, that guy's just never going to play at Florida State. He's not Florida State level. So, you know, that's that. Again, of the guys, I think, you know, Fan probably has the lowest ceiling and Fuller has the highest ceiling. And all of them, it's just going to be interesting to see sort of where they wind up fitting, because there's a lot of hybridity and a lot of flexibility with the guys that they're bringing in. And all of these guys are football players first. They're not the guys that, you know, you're signing because of their measurables. They're guys you're signing because of their ability to bring it once they're on the field. So that's a plus. All right. Now, the final position group that we're looking at is defensive back. And I'm not really even breaking this into corners versus safeties, because again, they brought in football players and you could kind of shuffle these guys up and put them at different positions. And I think that's basically what they're going for. And this is where the majority of the talent is in this class. I was really struck by how good this group is. I mean, everybody's talking about this as one of the best defensive back groups in the country. And I thought, and they were better when I evaluated them than I thought they would be going in. Now, I'm not going to break down Nick Cross too much here, because he hasn't signed yet. Possible that he does sign, but again, we don't know yet what the result of that's going to be. Basically, I think, I hate to say it this way, but even if he doesn't sign, I don't know that he's as needed in this class, as you might expect, even though he'd be a huge plus. They've got so much talent coming in at the defensive back position that he's a luxury, not a necessity. And again, just would be additive, across four-star safety would be one of the highest rated players they sign, but that just goes to show how good the rest of the guys are. So I went through, I started with Renardo Green and I love him. Fluid, long for 5'11", outstanding two-way athlete. He's better than his ranking. I like Renardo Green a lot. You know, can turn and run. I think he's a guy that probably as a sophomore junior winds up being a guy that makes him, that competes. But I don't think he's the strongest guy in this class. I mean, he would have been, looking at last year's class, you know, I think he's a better prospect than Asante Samuel was. So that tells you something. I physically, certainly. Now, Samuel more polished, but Renardo Green can play. Jarvis Brownlee, even longer, 6 foot, much more physical than Green. Not as fluid though as Green, and I think he's a solid developmental guy. But you know, I have Green as a potential difference maker. I have Jarvis Brownlee as a starter. I think it's going to take him a little longer. And you know, he's a guy that might wind up at safety to me, or, you know, he's a little bit more of a hybrid there. But again, one of those guys that he's the kind of athlete that you just got to bring in if he wants in. So, you know, good player, might wind up at safety, solid developmental prospect by junior year. You're looking at a guy that again, is you want these guys in your program. Then you get to Brendan Gant. Now he to me is your field safety. He's the guy that you can put there, or you can put him at strong safety as well, but he can cover. And the thing that stood out to me is he runs so light on his feet for his size. I mean, he is a good 6'2", 195, and he runs like the wind. He just runs like he's light. I love this kid. Brendan Gant is one of my favorite recruits in this class. He is physical. He has the hands and the, well, actually I've got marked down here that his hands and ball skills are the question, that is. But everything else is there. I mean, he's one of those guys you can stick back there, and if he's playing center field, he can cover the entire field. Just outstanding speed. He's a guy that can cover if you're going to expect some one-on-one stuff on the interior. He can do some of that stuff. This kid can play. To me, he can play either safety, and I would have thought he would have been the field safety until I looked at some of the other guys. Then you got Raymond Woody. And by the way, Brendan Gant, I have as a potential difference maker. I think he's a potential all-conference guy, a guy that you know, might need a year or two, but he can be a player. Raymond Woody, also a potential difference maker. This kid is an athlete. He's a baller. He's a football player. He played corner in high school a good bit. I don't think he's got fluid enough hips to do that in college. To me, he's a guy, it'll be interesting to see how much he grows. I would not be surprised to see Raymond Woody grow into a star. He's a good wide receiver. He can play safety. I think he could grow into a linebacker. And all of that with outstanding explosion, big time athlete. And, you know, I think there's your strong side safety, your potentially a star. You can use him in some nickel and dime roles. Lots of things you can do with him. Again, probably needs a year or two. It'll be interesting to see how much weight he gains. But I think this guy is going to be a really good player at Florida State. I think he's a potential difference maker. One of those guys that, you know, they put up on the screen when they evaluate the defense, when the commentators talk about the top guys on your defense. Finally, we get to the last two guys. And these two guys are the guys that I have in the impact player category, which for me, the impact player category is the following. This is a rare prospect. Projects as a first-year contributor, second year for quarterbacks. It would be an impact player, but projects as a first-year contributor and possible future All-American and high draft pick. And to me, Florida State has signed two of these guys. The first is Hakeem Dent. Hakeem Dent can play corner or he could play field safety. I think he's probably a day one starter at field safety. Now that he's an early enrollee, I think he might be your day one starter at field safety. Basically, he can cover from that spot. He is a twitchy player. Actually reminds me of Patrick Robinson. Good but not elite length. Really, really good acceleration. When he steps on it, he goes. And physical. But yeah, to me, you're getting basically Patrick Robinson. Maybe a little bit better than Patrick Robinson coming out of high school. But basically, that to me is your comp. And I think he has a day one impact. He's going to compete to, I think, start at one of those safety positions day one. And I actually have Travis Jay higher than him on my board. Travis Jay to me is an even more rare prospect. He's not an early enrollee, so you know he may not have as early an impact, but I think this guy is a special athlete. Long, bursty, just about everything. He's not quite as fluid in terms of turning and running as Hakeem Dent is, but Travis Jay, I actually noted down Jalen Ramsey type athlete on tape. Now, he doesn't have quite the top-end speed that Jalen Ramsey does. Very few people do. But he looks like the kind of player that Jalen Ramsey was coming out of high school. And I think he's an impact guy. I mean, he's a guy that will compete at the corner position day one. He will compete at the safety position day one. He can play quarterback. You know, if Blackman goes down, and Jordan Travis isn't eligible, Travis Jay might be your quarterback. Because this kid, I'm telling you, this kid is a special athlete. And yeah, that one of the best players that Florida State signed in the last couple of years. You know, I think he's a Stanford Samuels level recruit, but he's a better athlete than Stanford Samuels coming out. In terms of just the burst and the length. And listen, I had Stanford Samuels super high coming out. I think Travis Jay is really, really good. So this defensive backs class, it'll cure what the doctor, it's just what the doctor prescribed to cure what ails you on defense. They can play. So yeah, I this defensive backs class, they're going to have four guys. I think Jay, Dent, and Woody, and Gant, all four of those guys are going to compete for immediate playing time. Now, I think Woody and Gant probably take a little bit longer, but Jay and Dent are probably on the field early. And if Nick Cross comes, he's probably competing as well. So you're looking at an instant upgrade with as good a class as what you're going to have nationally in terms of the defensive backs class. So all that said, and I'm going to wrap it here. I'm going to do a second episode because this is already at an hour. I'm going to do a second episode on the whole quarterback situation and all of that, and talk about DeAndre Francois mercifully being addition by subtraction. But to me, this class listen, it's a lot better class than, say, the 2013 class, which was actually ranked higher. And there are some similarities to that 2013 class in terms of that 2013 class. You had Jalen Ramsey, right? That's your Travis Jay. You had Matthew Thomas. I think Akeem Dent projects better than Matthew Thomas because of the character issues. There are more potential difference makers in this class than there are about the same number of potential difference makers in this class as there were in that one. And then most of those guys were, you know, projected starters. But I think this class is deeper overall in guys that are probably not going to be problems, guys that can be foundational, and guys that, you know, you might try to recruit over, but in 2 or 3 years are going to be tough to unseat by a very talented freshman. That's overall good. If you're not going to have a top five class, this is the kind of class you want to have. And in terms of defensive classes, last year's class was more sexy because it had all these offensive players. This year's class met a ton of needs on the defensive side. So a lot to be very, very pleased with there. And again, I think the evaluations on the offensive linemen were very good. I thought they looked better than I expected. Might have liked to see maybe one more guy come in, and you'd like to have seen, you know, a true elite guy, you know, an Evan Neal or somebody like that come in, you know, that could play day one. But overall, these guys, these offensive linemen, you know, I think you probably get 3 starters long term out of this group, out of this offensive line group, and I think Ira Henry and Dante Lucas project as very good ones. So overall, I think this was a class that met all of the needs that Florida State had, except for the quarterback need. We'll talk more about that on the next show. Thanks to Troy McClure and the Unconquered Network of Realtors for their support. And also thanks to Garage Makeovers for their sponsorship of this show. I also want to thank the Patreon subscribers who are at the above the Secure the Bag level. That would be Hector Cartagena, Dan Alvarez, Keith Cheney, Neil Cook, and Bert Bertoldi. As always, thanks especially to those guys and to all of you who are Patreon subscribers. Going to have some video stuff up for you guys here in the very near future, before the end of the month of January. Also going to get some a good bit of stuff up in February. Once I get my hands on just a little bit more film, we'll go through some of that. But until then, this has been the Unconquered Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jason Staples. Thanks for listening.
Thank you all very much, and have a great day if you want to.
I made this.